And welcome into another edition of Community Chat as we sit down with the candidates running for the various offices, both here and locally in the state and amongst the other parts of the country as well. Today we're talking with Scott Cleveland. He's running for the U.S. House in the 2nd District here in the state of Idaho, as we'll talk to him for a few minutes here on Community Chat. First of all, Scott, welcome here to the city of Preston, and it's good to be able to sit down and speak with you for a few minutes.
Yeah, very good. It's our second trip to beautiful Franklin County here in the last couple of months, and it's God's country, and we enjoy it, and thanks for having us.
You know, it seems like a crazy step to take for a lot of people, but I'll ask the question that everybody asks. Why do you want to run for Congress?
I'm not sure if it's because I hit my head, some head injury years gone by. But the short answer to that question, real simply, Dan, is the people that are running our country are just doing a horrible job of it. They don't serve anybody's interest. I don't care if they're Republicans, Democrats, or something else. They're just doing a lousy job. And I'm resolved to do something about that. I think I'm capable and competent, but more importantly, I'm willing to try to run for this important seat.
Before we get in, we'll talk about a few issues, but before we do, how do you go to Washington? How do you change things there that would affect things for a positive here in the state of Idaho?
Well, if you notice the current count in Washington, the Senate is basically split 50-50 and probably will remain very tight. And the House of Representatives now, with a few resignations here announced recently, is also a razor-thin margin. So, yeah, we might not be from some big power state like New York, Chicago, or Texas, but each and every member of Congress, because of that razor-thin minority or majority, your vote counts just as much as anybody else. And I think that I can make a difference based on that.
All right. You're running against Mike Simpson. And Mike Simpson is offering up some policy changes and changes potentially to the state of Idaho that could be very dangerous if adopted.
Yes. I think the biggest issue with Mike Simpson, and again, I have nothing personal against Mike Simpson. He served Idaho for many years as a true conservative. I'm not sure he does that anymore. But Mike Simpson, I think most of your listeners know that he is leading the charge in Washington, D.C. to remove the four dams on the lower Snake River. That is a horrible, disastrous policy decision on many levels, and we can't afford to let that happen. Our governor doesn't want those dams to come out. The other three members of our congressional delegation, they don't want those dams to come out. If you're in the ag business, or even if you pay an electric bill in Idaho, you do not want those four dams coming out. And the danger is, if Mike Simpson is somehow reelected for this seat, and Joe Biden is reelected, there's a good chance those dams are coming out, and I don't believe that's a chance that Idahoans can afford to take.
It does sound like a little crazy on its face to even consider that. I mean, I'm originally from California. I grew up there. Certainly we'd enjoy being downriver from all the water that's up here, but that's just way dangerous for the residents and farmers, like you said, of the state of Idaho.
Yeah, it is a disastrous economic policy decision, and yet he sticks with it. Now, 2 years ago when I was out campaigning, I think a lot of the voters were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, particularly the ag business. But now they've had time to research it and do a deep dive on it. And the feedback that I'm getting from all 25 counties in the congressional district and everywhere in Idaho is, no, that will not stand. That is a direct economic threat to their livelihood. And they're having none of it. But they want a suitable alternative, and I hope to be that alternative in Washington.
Now, you come from a financial background. How can people get by the way the dollar has deteriorated here over the last 2 years, 4 years, maybe even longer? How can that be reversed?
Well, they don't get by very well. I think about the middle class, a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, they're raising a couple kids, That's who this impacts the most. You know, the political elites can make decisions that don't really affect them. I'm pretty sure that Nancy Pelosi doesn't really care what a gallon of gas costs. But here out in Normalville, we certainly do. So, you know, that's the bad news. The good news is though that is a self-inflicted problem, but it's also reversible. You know, our federal government, they do a lousy job managing finances, and again, that's where my background would help, but it's going to take us 10 years to get America's financial house in order. First thing you have to do is stop the reckless, never-ending spending, stop sending money needlessly to far-flung places like Ukraine, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars going there. We need entitlement reform right here in America. We're wasting a lot of money funding the invasion of our country currently. That's got to stop. And I think that if you have a robust economy and good energy policy, that is probably the strongest thing overall that will help middle-class Americans get back on their feet. But it's going to take some time.
Scott Cleveland, running for the U.S. House District 2 here in the state of Idaho, our guest here on Community Chat. It's one thing to say that, you know, my opponent is doing this or that. There's, you know, X number of problems in the United States. But if elected, you get to Washington, and some of you may ask you this question here in the meeting, how do you stand up for what you believe against everybody else there within in the House and Senate once you do get to Washington?
Right. Well, I mentioned in the meeting earlier today that I'm 62 years old, Dan. I am not looking for a 30-year career in Washington, D.C. Thankfully, my wife, Kathy, and I, we could serve the citizens of Idaho well as a former business owner for one or two terms. You know, that's all I'm looking for. We just need some people in Washington with some common sense that are not beholden to lobbyists and special interest groups. I don't care about their cocktail parties or being in the cool kids club. I've never been one for much of those things. But I think that it is doable. We just need more people in Congress that are regular folks like our framing fathers had in mind. Go do your job for a term or two and then go back to your life. That's what we plan to do.
You know, I mentioned a moment ago, I grew up in Southern California. You grew up in New Mexico. And in those two areas, we have some of the same common problems, and that is the border security issue that the states are facing. Your feelings about that, things that can be done to possibly change it.
Right. Well, first off, let's point out the problem. The problem is not accidental or even incompetence. So we're being invaded deliberately by the Biden administration. And that's a sad thing to see. I think the latest statistics are somewhere on the order of 8-9 million folks have come in just since Biden has been in office. Well, you can't blame the people that want to come here. I mean, America is an economic life raft, so I understand that. But we have a legal immigration system that allows 1.1 million legal immigrants into this country every year, far more than any other country. So it's not that we don't have a system. It's they want to jump the line and get in front. That decision to leave the border wide open has national security implications. I don't even need to get into the fentanyl trafficking, sex trafficking, and so on. And yet they continue to do it. And he claims that he has no recourse. Well, certainly Trump had some recourse, and we had a much more secure southern border. But what would I do as a sitting member of Congress? Well, the only thing that a sitting member of Congress can do, the only language they really listen to in Washington, is money. It's the power of the purse. And in my mind, what you have to do, along with your fellow legislators, have enough of a backbone to say, we are not going to spend money. We're going to reduce the heads of these agencies and their employees. We're going to reduce their salaries dramatically until that border, that southern border, is close. They don't listen to anything else. You can threaten them and write letters and emails. They don't care. But when you start getting into their wallet, that's when you get their attention. And until that border is closed, I say massive reductions on their salaries and the like.
Last few years, with all the people moving to this area, Utah and Idaho, are number one and number two in the fastest growing states in the country. If elected, you get to Washington, is there anything or what would you suggest might be done to help us here with the growing population numbers for especially for Idaho?
Well, you can't blame others for wanting to come live in this beautiful, great state, and they do move here for their conservative values. Let's face it, Idaho is known as a red state, largely because many of the people that are elected officials here do have conservative values. And while we want to control growth to some extent, overall, the people that are moving here, I collectively call them cows. They're good cows. Californians, Oregonians, Washingtonians, good cows, they move here, and the majority of them are coming with those same conservative values because they're being forced to leave their states, maybe even somewhere they spent their whole life, and they come here and they have the right value systems, they assimilate into the community, and most of them are not broke. So overall, the net influx is a good thing, economically speaking. We just don't want them to, get away with some of this nonsense like ranked choice voting and some of the initiatives that they're trying to turn Idaho blue like Colorado. We have to push back on those at a state level.
As says Scott Cleveland, our guest here on the community chat. Scott, we're running a little short on time, but before we say goodbye, kind of let you take over the interview, talk directly to the people who are listening to you here this afternoon, and tell them why they need to vote for you for Congress.
Well, I think people in Idaho are used to seeing names on a ballot, and those names typically have an R beside them. While a lot of people say, well, that stands for Republican, I say, no, that R beside a candidate's name stands for research. I would encourage your listeners to research the voting record of Mike Simpson as a conservative. It's not conservative, not lately. And while I don't have a Washington voting record just yet, they can research all about my policies and my principles and, more importantly, my core values by going to our website. It's easy to find, clevelandforcongress.org. There they can find out these policy positions. There is even a phone number listed there and an email, and they can call me if they'd like to discuss this. We're down to crunch time. It's winner take all in the May 21st primary. And if you want real change in Washington, D.C., you can't keep doing the same thing expecting different results. We need new leadership.
Scott, thanks for taking a few minutes, and best of luck coming up on Election Day.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it. Take care.
Scott Cleveland, our guest here on Community Chat. Remember his name. He's running for the U.S. House, District 2 here from the state of Idaho when it's time to go vote on Election Day. I'm Dan Hubbard. This has been another edition of Community Chat.